Today's episode of Not Just a Phase is brought to you in part by our partners at Relentless Merchandise. For over a decade now, bands worldwide have depended on Relentless to keep their totes stocked with everything from custom tees and tanks to beanies and banners. So whether you're a new band gearing up for your first order or you're a touring operation looking for advanced e-com services, Relentless has you covered with quick turnaround times and first-class service. Does your merch setup need some love? Hit up Relentless Merch on Instagram and check them out online at relentlessmerch.com. Mention this podcast to receive an exclusive Not Just a Phase discount. Relentless Merchandise. Quality prints. On time. There's a label war going down in the Scrams game, and we want you to be on the right side of it. Go to Larry Records for all your Screamo needs. Larry Records is a gang, and they got all the hottest bands right now. We're talking Versus Self, Catalyst, Oath, Claybirds, Heaven Through Violence, New Mirrors, and so much more. Join the label wars today on the right side, and get with the gang at Larry Records. Hit up larry187.bandcamp.com for all your Screamo needs. Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase. And thank you so much for joining us here in our fifth season. If you're new here, let me get this out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. Occasionally, I tweet some nonsense on Twitter at NJAP Worldwide. We are also on Instagram, YouTube, Tinder, Threads, TikTok, and Patreon at Not Just a Phase Worldwide. There's bonus content, video podcasts, news, behind the scenes, all that good stuff on the Patreon, and you can join for free, so please do. Shout out to our partners at Blanco Media, who are also the gentlemen from Modula Lunar. Make sure you check out their company for your video editing needs, and check out their band as well, because they're excellent. And as always, if you're looking to get on our blog spot or the podcast, or you have any press inquiries at all, please send an email to notjustaphasesubmissions@gmail.com. All right, let's get to the show. Today we're chatting with X-Ray FM's best radio host. X-Ray FM is a community radio station based in Portland, and Chelsea here is the host of an excellent live radio show she has created called Satterstar. The show focuses on the whole spectrum of the emo genre. Pretty much every wave and most of the subgenres of emo can be heard throughout her broadcasts, but she does often play a little bit more of the 90s emo and early 2000s than some of the other eras and waves within the genre. Chelsea is based in Portland, and her show is broadcasted to her worldwide audience at 107.1 and 91.1 FM in Portland. It's streaming online 24/7 at X-Ray FM. Despite the fact that Chelsea mostly lets the music speak for itself during her show, when she does discuss the bands and songs that she's playing, it's very clear that she knows a lot more about emo than I do, so it's going to be an honor today to pick her brain and chat about her work. Without any further ado, coming in hot here after her 114th episode as of last Monday, this is your favorite band's favorite radio show host, Chelsea from Satterstar. Welcome to the show, Chelsea. Finally, after good year and a half of trying to get this to go.
Finally. No, I'm excited for this. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Happy to.
I don't know what this will turn into, but it will be funny no matter what.
Absolutely. So for those of you who might be new listeners, we usually play three songs on the audio podcast. I had asked Chelsea to pick three songs to play for today's episode. She asked me if there was a theme, because she often does that on her radio show. And I thought, you know what? Good idea, Chelsea. I've asked her to pick three emo songs that mean a lot to her and then explain what the emotional connection to those songs are for her. So if you'd like, Miss Star, if you could introduce the first song you picked and tell us why it has such a tie to you.
Oh, okay. So yeah, the first song I picked is Reflections on Milkweed. Is that what I picked? I forgot. Yeah, a few days ago. Yeah, Reflections on Milkweed by Indian Summer. Indian Summer is probably my all-time favorite band. They just like got me into emo in general and just like embody the like sound and like emotions of like what I consider like emo to be at like the highest level. And I would say like Woolworm slash Indian Summer, I mean slash Angry Sun, is like probably my favorite Indian summer and like most like emotionally like heavy and like powerful song that they have, but it's kind of long. So I picked another song that's shorter, Reflections on Milkweed. It was originally released on their on a Food Not Bombs benefit compilation LP put out by Inchworm Records, which has a lot of great stuff. But I just really love the song. I love like the build. I love the lyrics. I love like the talky, like whispery kind of emo paired with like just like full on like yelling. Yeah, I just really love this band a lot.
Piercing my own heart.
Is awesome. So that actually segues quite nicely into one of the questions I usually ask people. I'm very interested in what your response would be, especially now. Like, how did you first get introduced to emo music, or how did you discover it? And how did you end up starting with something so real like Indian Summer? Like, you didn't get into this stuff through Vans Warped Tour type emo or any of the mall emo type shit. Like, you clearly started off. How did you start off?
First of
Yeah, I'm not
all,
going
I
to
would
make
say that's not
assumptions.
true. I definitely
No, you
got
did?
into it through, yeah, mall emo.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a path. Do you want me to start from like all the way at the beginning when I was like super young? Or
Yeah, like how
like
did you first, what was the first emo or emo adjacent stuff that you heard? Because you said Indian Summer just now when you introduced that song was some of the first you had heard.
Well, I would say like first of like what not to be corny, but what like people would consider to be like real emo or like
Yeah,
90s
for sure.
emo was like Indian Summer was like the first one of like those bands that I heard that like led me down the path of like, oh, there's like all these other like really awesome bands that have the sound that is totally different from like mall emo, like poppier emo that I had heard before. But when I was like a tween, I was obsessed with Blink 182.
Excellent.
Blink 182 was my favorite band when I was like 11 or 12, and also Boxcar Racer.
Nice.
And then I don't remember like the exact path, but I like found the Atticus Dragging the Lake 2 compilation CD, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it was a compilation CD that has like a bunch of bands, including Blink-182 and Boxcar Racer, but then also it had a bunch of like mall emo stuff. Like Finch, Taking Back Sunday, Matchbook Romance. I don't know. And it also ra randomly had like Jets to Brazil and like Hot Water Music and like stuff like that too. But I was like rocking that every day on the bus to like 7th grade. And then I think through that, like I got super into Taking Back Sunday and Thursday. I loved both of those bands a lot. And then also like at the time, that stuff was just like super popular. Like everybody in my class, for the most
It was
part,
everywhere.
that wasn't
Yeah.
like a jock. I don't know. Like most
Yeah.
people were listening to that music. Like it was extremely popular in a way that I feel like a lot of people can't even like fathom now. There was
Truly.
like ads for like shows at like, I don't know, shoe stores in the mall and stuff. It was and
Yep.
like music videos like on TV like all the time with like all those bands.
Oh, yeah.
And like Good Charlotte too.
Oh,
And
love
I
Good
don't know, other
Charlotte.
stuff.
I love Good
Yeah,
Charlotte.
totally.
So cheesy.
They're very
Love them.
fun. I remember like watching a Good Charlotte video, like music video for the first time with I was at my nana's house when I was probably like 11, and I was like, whoa, what is this? This is so fun and
Yeah.
good. And I don't know, I just really loved it. And what else? Yeah, I don't know. I just liked all the mall emo stuff. And I went to Warped Tour the day before my 13th birthday. I
Hell
was
yeah.
12.
Hell yeah.
With my best friend at the time, Sammy P, and her mom. And yeah, I like saw a bunch of bands, but her mom didn't let us like go to the side stages. There was like the main stages for the Warped Tour where like, I don't know, all like the huge bands were playing, and then there are all these side stages, like the Smart Punk stage that
Yep.
like some other bands I liked, like Hidden in Plain View was a band that I really liked at the time. And From First to Last, when they were like just starting to get big, played that, and like my friend's mom didn't let us go to the small stages. Anyway, that was just like a memory that I'll have forever.
Oh,
That's hilarious to me now.
that is funny, 'cause like what made the side stages so dangerous? I don't
I
get
don't
it.
know. I
That's
don't
so
know. I
funny.
don't know. It was just
We'll
kind
let
of
you be
crazy.
rebellious, but not that rebellious.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it.
That's
But
hilarious.
yeah, okay. Anyway, back to the topic. So yeah, I liked all
Yeah.
the mall emo stuff. I really like From First to Last. And then through that, also like Thursday became my favorite band. And Thursday has roots in like real, I don't know, emo screamo stuff, for sure. And I would like listen to their like early album. Like I really love Full Collapse, but I would listen to like Waiting a lot too when I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13, which I still really love. And then also, I don't know, eventually like I got really into the Blood Brothers,
Nice.
and like that kind of rocked my world a little bit. And I was obsessed with them. And like, I don't know, just like a crazed like 13-year-old girl way. I was like, oh my God, I love the Blood Brothers. Like I wore their shirts all the time. I made my own shirts of like hand painted them for the Blood Brothers. I don't know. And like, there's all this other
Real
like
DIY. Some real
funny stuff.
DIY.
Yeah, when
At
I was
13, you were a
13.
real one. You were a real one already.
Yeah, I was also like extremely okay. This is a key piece. When I was 13, my family, so I grew up partially, like mostly, I would say, in Arizona. And when I was 13, my family moved to a really crappy town in Texas called Plano, Texas,
Oh, shout it out. Nice.
which is like kind of a suburb of Dallas, but like its own thing. And it just like sucked so bad.
That's awful.
And it was just, yeah, I just like didn't have any friends the whole year. So like imagine like a 13-year-old like alt girl going
Yeah.
to move to this place that's extremely like homogenous, very Christian. My family's not Christian. And I don't know, just like so suburban and like boring that it like sucks so bad. And Scottsdale, Arizona, where I grew up, is also like extremely suburban, homogenous. But I don't know, just something about Plano just like sucks so bad, and I felt like an outsider the whole time. And so I didn't have any friends, and I was just online a lot. And so being online a lot, I like, and also being obsessed with this music, I was like doing a lot of like, who knows what I was doing. I was like figuring out like music stuff online. I was like on LiveJournal. I was looking at
Nice,
people's
nice.
like on LiveJournal, there's like a the profile page was like an interest section, which you like list out. A lot of people were like listing out bands that they liked and stuff, and a lot of it was just like scene, like mallcore kind of bands, which I liked. But then also there's like an overlap of that with like the Blood Brothers, and then like Stacia, and like I don't know,
Nice.
like more like real screamo stuff. It was just like an interesting like combination of all of that was kind of like fed to me on there. And then also I was in an AIM chat room a lot. That was the Blink-182 chat room.
Oh gosh.
And I don't even know
Nice.
why I was in there, but I like had a really weird group of like internet friends on the
Totally normal stuff that people who
Blink-182
are young
AIM chat
probably don't
room as a
realize. Yeah.
13-year-old.
Very
Yep.
normal.
And then
Yep.
I don't even know, some combination of that like led me into like discovering screamo stuff. Like I think Seisha was the first real, also in quotes,
Quote
like real
unquote, air quotes for those of you.
screamo,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
band that I like discovered after that, like more like scene like mall core kind of music.
Right.
And then also I found Forfa, which, are you familiar with Forfa?
Orsa?
Oh my God, Forfa was a
Orfa, no.
website for, yeah, Forfa
Okay,
dot,
no.
was it .com? I don't even know. It's a website, and the front page of it was a picture of the 90s emo band Still Life, and there's like the tagline that's like, "What the heck is emo anyway?" And it was this is an iconic website for me, like the foundation of my music taste. It was a website that a person who was previously in Funeral Diner made to explain what emo is, and then
Oh,
it
sick.
like laid
Okay.
out all, yeah, the history of emo, the different waves, different like emo kind of like categories, and like specific like popular, like more well-known like bands in
Right.
each kind of like sound category of like emo and like all this other stuff. And I don't even know how I discovered this, but I did. And that through that I like found a bunch of music, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy, this is crazy, and I love it. And then yeah, that's through that I must have found Indian Summer.
That
A
is,
long-winded
no,
explanation.
it's a great detailed explanation of the lore and the origins. I mean, for some of the long, for some of the younger listeners, to explain the popularity of Blink-182 when we were children, they could have played the fucking Super Bowl. Like they were massive. They were the biggest band in the world at one point. And for them to lead you into that Food Not Bombs and then over to those websites and into your live journal and get all the way to Funeral Diner and stuff, that's crazy. That's very crazy. So don't knock people for listening to Mall Emo, because or Blink or Pop Punk or anything, because everybody's avenue, usually starts with something popular like that, right?
I would even say, like, before Blink, I was trying to think of this, like, how did I even get into Blink, even though they were popular? I feel like Avril Lavigne was how I, like, started listening to more, like, punk in, like, extreme air quotes, like, music. Like coming from, like, I liked a lot of popular, like, pop stuff when I was like young, and like Michelle Branch was really popular, like girly, like pop rock kind of stuff. And then Avril Lavigne like blew up, and then she was like, she's punk, she's cool and crazy. And then I don't know, then through that I was like, this is me. And then I,
Oh
yeah,
man.
got into Blink. I think after that, I was like, wait, this is even more awesome. But I still love Blink so much.
Yo, me
Like,
too.
they're an
Me too. So
extremely
much.
important band
So
to me.
much.
Yeah,
Huge.
absolutely. They're awesome.
As a Canadian, big shout out to Avril Lavigne. She's the motherfucking princess, as she says.
That's true. That's right.
That's
I'll
what it
say
is.
I love doing Avril Lavigne for karaoke. She has some great songs.
True. A
Also,
lot of
okay,
bangers.
something else is coming into my brain
Okay.
from the Live Journal reference.
Okay.
I like can still see my like Live Journal that I had at the time from when I was like 13, and you could clearly see the transition in like my posts that's like still kind of public, from like when I found like screamo, because I would always like put in like what I was listening to, and most of the time it was like the Blood Brothers. Again, I told you I was like obsessed with them. And then it became like Stacia, You and I, Hot Cross, and then I would like write like Hot Cross like lyrics like quoted on my live journal, and I think that's hilarious.
That is hilarious. You became a real emo elitist real quick. It was just a sudden snap over. Like, I
Yeah,
love
just
Blink. And
I
then you're like,
snapped.
Stacia is real. That is amazing. Well, I always like asking
Anyways.
this question to be big music fans, because normally outside of music, we don't have anything going on because it consumes you. Do you have any sort of hobbies and passions outside of music, or is this just completely taken over your life at this point?
I would say that this is definitely my biggest hobby, and like I feel like I
Right.
have a lot of different like projects associated with Satterstar. Yeah, I would say also not a hobby, but what I've spent a lot of time doing recently is applying to jobs, looking for jobs, applying to jobs. So that sucks, but that's something that I've been doing a lot recently. And I also like to walk. More than the average person. I really love to walk like long distances and listen to music. I don't even know if that's considered a hobby, but I just really love doing
It's
that.
absolutely a hobby, especially if it's taking up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I guess
Absolutely.
so. Yeah. Oh,
Ooh.
also another hobby, I go trivia every Tuesday evening with a
Just
group of
general
friends.
trivia, or is it a specific?
It's kind of general, but there's like different topics that the trivia host kind of like draws from and like gives hints
Right.
a few days in advance. He like emails them out. But yeah, it's at a bar that's really close to my house that I go to pretty
Nice.
frequently. So that's a fun, I don't know, silly thing. And what else? This is not something that I can do every day, but I really love traveling. That's like important to me, is going different places in the world.
For sure.
And trying to plan trips. I don't know. I feel like that's like kind of a hobby.
Definitely, definitely. You
And
rock with any podcasts or, oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
and collecting records, which again is adjacent to my radio show. Collecting
Collecting
records.
records?
Records.
Records. Oh my God, of course. Why didn't Sorry, your audio card.
Record
Of course,
shopping. Oh, I'm
collecting
sorry.
records. I do have some questions about your collection as well
Oh,
later in my
yeah.
list. You
Okay, I
rock with
don't know.
any you rock with any podcasts?
I listen to this one
Do you actually?
occasionally.
That's quite nice of you. I
Yeah.
appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's like specific guests I'm interested in hearing, no offense. But yeah, I just
Of
listened
course, yeah.
to the two latest ones with February and Astraka. I was listening to those.
Thank you.
And I had a phase of listening to Otherworld, which is a podcast about like paranormal experiences.
Oh, cool.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, but I haven't listened to that in a little while. In general, I don't really listen to podcasts that much though, because I'd listen to a lot of music, and I've also never
Yeah.
really understood for a long time when I would listen to podcasts. Like, it didn't have like a place that it would like fit into my life. But yeah, I like listening to them when I'm like doing chores, I would say, to make it more enjoyable.
For sure.
Oh, the ZBR one, which I forget what it's called. I've listened to that a
Open
few
mind,
times.
saturated brain.
Yeah,
That's a
that's
goodie
it.
as well. One of the few I listen to. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I always ask because some people are big into podcasts, not so much myself.
Yeah.
Especially because I have to edit my own awful voice every week, and that gets tedious. It's
Yeah, that
tedious.
makes sense.
Let's dip into music though. What's the scene like in your area? Let's start there. You got any favorite bands, locals, venues, anything you want to shout out? What's it like in Portland? I
Yeah.
have almost no idea, except I think Stella is kind of close by you guys, and that's geographically, that's like literally all I know about your area, so.
So I feel like I've been kind of out of this local scene, I don't know, for a little while. I feel a little bit out of the loop. There's a lot
Right.
of bands, but I don't go to that many local shows that often. Bigger bands in Portland, Carry On Spring, they've been around forever and they're the homies.
Were they? I
And
didn't
the names of our
know that.
friends. Oh yeah, they've been around forever. There have been like a few iterations of the band, but Adam, the like lead dude, vocalist, guitarist, has been like the constant guy, yeah, throughout the whole time. But they're great. They're a great band. The Names of Our Friends are a really dope band that are newer.
Legends. Yep. Members of Sensa. Great band.
Yes. Yeah. Senza is like kind of from here, kind of from Eugene. It's like members in both places, but they're amazing. I'm gonna see them in a few days.
Oh, nice.
Rainmaking is from here. They've also been around for a long time. They're also the homies, an amazing band. I think they're coming up with new, I don't know, writing new music right now. And yeah, as I said, there's like a lot of younger bands I don't really know that much about or like haven't seen recently. Rhododendron is a really cool band. They're like kind of like sludgy, doomy with like really long drawn out songs, but like I don't know, they do their own thing. They're like a really, really crazy band to see live, and it's hard to describe their music, but they're cool. Yeah, Eugene has some really dope stuff going on. We're the Currency and Stella like share members. They're basically the same band
I
but
did not know
have
that. I love
two
We're the
different
Currency.
sounds.
I love
yeah
We're the
yeah I
Currency. That's
love
sick.
I love them. Yeah, they're like probably my favorite band to come out of this like area, or I guess like Oregon recently. Their album that came out last year was
Amazing.
like my favorite thing that came out, yeah, for the
Yeah.
year.
Yeah.
And also Stella is great too, just like more like straight ahead emo.
It's funny you mentioned We're the Currency because when we did the top 24 of 24 playlist that we collaborated on, I believe I had them already on there, and you said like, oh, I wanted to put them on my picks because we were trying not to do overlaps. But yes, I remember loving the hell out of that album they put out last year. I actually EP, not like it matters, but yes, it was fantastic. Is there like a particular
Yeah.
scene right now you think deserves more spotlight? Like one outside of your own local?
I feel like there's some really cool stuff happening in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. Which happens to be where I grew up, and I like have like an interest in music that came out of Phoenix. But yeah, there's some really cool like emo screamo stuff happening there. Like my friend My Urn
Oh,
is
yes.
a great band. They only released two songs, but they're so
Brand
good, and
new.
they like covered a Breakwater song like in a live video that I've seen.
And their name is
They're
a um,
awesome.
their name is a is it a Usurp reference? I forget now. It's a song title.
Makara
Makara.
reference, the
Okay.
band Makara. Yeah.
That would make
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
definitely like a deeper cut reference. I don't know. I just
Yeah,
randomly like realized that recently.
it's a song title, and when I saw the name, I was like, I
Yeah.
know that name, and now I fucked up who it actually came from. But right away, I recognized it. I'm like, that's a song. Whose song is it? Yeah, very
Yeah.
cool.
And also Journal is from Phoenix. They're really cool.
They are, yep. A lot of good new blood.
And
A lot of good new
I feel
blood.
like there's some more stuff happening, but those are like the main two that I know from there.
Yep.
Also in Portland, shout out Commonwealth Skate Park. They've been having a lot of sick shows to indoor skate park. Yeah, and they just that's like the spot to see shows right now. Yeah, but Portland has always had kind of like a deficit in like DIY, like smaller venues. So it's always been like, I don't know, a little bit of like a struggle. Yeah, there's like really strict liquor laws in Oregon that makes it hard to have all ages shows in a lot of venues. I don't even know. And then also just there's been like a plethora of different like DIY venues throughout the years that have always gotten like shut down or whatever. But that's the spot right now, Commonwealth for sure. And then also Top Chef Records. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they are trying to open up it another like DIY venue in partnership with the person who runs the shows at Commonwealth.
Awesome.
But maybe like later this year or early next year, there will be like another really cool spot happening. Oh, and also there's an organization called Friends of Noise, I think it's called, which focuses on having like all ages shows like across all genres, like definitely not specific to like emo or punk or whatever at all. And they're opening an all ages venue this summer, I think, which I'm really excited about. They seem like really awesome. They do a lot of like youth programming around like music and
That's great.
like live audio. Yeah, they're awesome. Anyway, those are some
Yeah.
things that are going on here.
Some good things.
Portland,
Yeah,
Oregon.
we need more all ages venues and DIY spots like that, like everywhere does. So that is good news. That is good news. In terms of your preference of emo, what era do you think is your favorite, like outside of what I presume is your favorite way of being just the 90s in general?
I mean, that is my favorite. The
Yeah,
90s.
I could tell by the show, but
90s
yeah,
is definitely my
I've
favorite.
heard it answered twice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite era of emo. And like to me, I guess like mid 90s, like what really embodies like emo sound. Even though like emo can sound like so many different things and still be considered emo.
Right.
Yeah, and also I'd say like early 2000s, like screamo. I feel like that's like the heyday of like straight up screamo would be like early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. I like bits from all of the waves, I guess, except for more, I don't know, some newer stuff I don't like. Doesn't speak to me.
So, yeah, that's totally fine. There's so much diversity in emo and screamo. And I had this at the end of my questions list, but since we're discussing it, I'll just hop into it now. I was curious, like, where do you think, Where do you think this is going to be in 5 years? Like, where's like, okay, so to explain, like, there's a big boost in bedroom screamo. There's a lot of bands that are fucking with chiptune and all sorts of wild instruments in our fifth wave with like Ginger Bee, Arms Are My Cocoon, stuff like that. We got like Nightcore and Kittencore type shit, like that same street and a lot of other bands like that. And so much mixing of blackened and metallic sounds into screamo, and a big resurgence of Midwest emo and mathy emo bands. Like it just keeps snowballing. I'm curious, where do you think the genre is going to be in 5 years from now, with all of this experimentation and all of these different subgenres, you know?
That's an interesting question. I feel like maybe a lot more bands drawing influence from like current popular screamo, like February, Numears, Widow Desk, I don't know, stuff like
Voice of
that,
South, New
without maybe
Bloodwave, yeah.
having, yeah, without like maybe having like the reference point for like where that sound like originally came from. So like
Yeah.
maybe like transforming the current sound into something, I don't know, evolving from like there, something kind of similar but like taking its own path. I don't know, a lot of newer stuff I don't really know that much about. I'm gonna be honest, like
Yeah.
bedroom screamo or like blackened screamo, I just don't really listen to that stuff or like
Bedroom's not my
have.
thing either, but I just
Yeah, I
mentioned it
just
because there
like,
is a big resurgence of it right now.
yeah, there totally is, but like I don't know, I just feel like I'm kind of too old for that
Ah! Preach. Preach.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer. We'll see what happens.
It's interesting to think about, though. I always wonder where the hell it's going to be in 5 years. I have the theory that eventually there's just going to be like a bunch of bands calling themselves screamo that don't play screamo whatsoever, which is
Yeah.
going to be weird because we're muddying the waters quite a lot with experimentation, which I like. But with that and the popularity of screamo currently, I got a funny feeling we're going to have to really start being elitist as hell within 5 years and being like, listen, man, you gotta take that screamo tag off your Bandcamp. You don't play screamo. Like,
Yeah,
I think
that's
we
true.
might
Like
get there, unfortunately.
a lot of stuff is like metal core
Yup,
that like people
yo,
are saying
yup.
is screamo, or
It's
I
like
don't even
you
know,
have
something
very
related to
screamed.
that, like with
Yeah.
breakdowns and stuff, just like kind of like
Yeah.
hardcore, but
Yup.
maybe the people making the music listen to like screamo or like draw some influence, but the music that they're making is not
Not
like, it
screamo.
does not sound the same as screamo. But also, I mean,
Hear
there's so many different like waves of like emo and sounds that emo encompasses
and has
that I
influenced as well too,
guess,
right?
yeah, that I guess like, I don't know, it's all like emo, so I guess why can't that stuff all be
It's a stretch though. It's a stretch though.
screamo?
I'm
But yeah,
thinking.
it is.
Yeah, the big
Yeah.
stretch these days, yeah. In
Yeah,
my
but also
opinion, of
like I
course.
feel like it's a stretch like to call a lot of like, I don't know, like a lot of stuff that people are saying is emo now or like Midwest emo or whatever, like it's not emo, it's just like pop punk or something, like alternative rock. Like
Oh,
it's
are you
not.
in the firm belief that Midwest emo isn't real? You don't fuck with the twinkly and the noodly? Is that what we're getting at here?
Yeah, I don't think it, I don't really think it's real. I don't
Oh,
really like that
you
term.
didn't want to go with it. You seemed like you were hesitant to admit it. You're like, you know what? Nah.
No,
So the mathy emo and the indie stuff to you is too far of a stretch, too much of a muddied water from what should be considered real.
I don't know. I don't freaking know. People could have fun and make whatever music they want. I
You're
don't
entitled to
care.
have your own
But
opinion. Yeah, no one's
yeah,
gonna.
but like in terms of like Midwest emo being like a genre, I don't fully like agree with that, especially when you include all these bands that are straight up not from the Midwest.
Yep.
Like saying like Mineral or whatever is like Midwest emo. I don't even know. Like,
Fair enough.
okay, yeah, or just saying like noodly, like twinkly guitars and emo, like that's Midwest emo, but
See, that's what I
I don't
do quite
know.
personally.
What
I just
about?
consider everything twinkly and mathy to be Midwest emo because it's a good catch-all phrase for the mathy and closer to indie type stuff.
Yeah. What about like Algernon, Cadwalader? What would you say about
See,
them?
yeah, I would just say Midwest emo, because it for me, when I hear Midwest emo as a term, I think of just noodly, mathy, emo in general, and I think it's a good catch-all phrase for that. Although obviously it's not how it was intended to be used. All these subgenres and their names and their origins, it all gets bastardized.
Yeah, I feel like I would call that like emo revival or something
Right. See, I just it it's
instead
if
of
it's
like
twinkly to
Midwest
me, or
because
if it's
of like
noodly, I just say it's Midwest, and then, but that's just myself,
that's where we
everyone's entitled to
differ.
opinion. Absolutely, absolutely. You said you felt a little too old for the bedroom screamo. What are your thoughts on emo rap as a genre?
Oh, I also feel too old for that. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
I've
thank you,
like
same.
never ser I've just never seriously listened to emo rap.
It's
Like,
terrible.
I
It's
just don't
terrible.
really have,
It's
yeah,
terrible.
like it seems bad, but like
It
I
is.
haven't listened to it in like a serious way.
Well,
So I don't
like
know.
you mentioned we were all into big mall emo was massive. It had a chokehold on the world when we were children. Did you never get into
Yes.
like Hollywood Undead, who I claim to be the forefathers of what had later become emo rap? At the time, I just thought it was awful scene garbage, but
That's a crazy question. Did I ever
right?
get into Hollywood
Yes.
Undead?
Really? Oh man, I
No.
shamefully did. I threw up the HU. I did.
That's crazy. Like, how old were you and what were you listening to?
Old enough to know better. I don't know. That I was like 15. I fucked with it. They still have like two or three
Wow.
songs that are bangers. They did not age well. They were not
Yeah.
aging well at the time they came out. But as a cringy little teenager, I loved it.
Whoa. Yeah, see, at the time that they came
Whoa.
out, like I was
You
okay, I'm
judging me?
not
Just
no,
whoa.
I'm not
That's
trying.
cool.
Well,
No,
I'm
it's
not
fine.
trying
It's
to. But
understandable.
by the time that like Hollywood Undead came out, I was already like deep into like 90s emo, like
You were
listening
too
to like
real.
Rainer Maria and Mineral and
Yes.
stuff. Yeah,
That.
like I was like I thought it was hilarious. But
It
I
is.
didn't like it. No, like
Oh, man.
it's a similar vibe to like I don't know, ICP or
Oh,
something.
no. That's going to be 2 fucking weeks in a row. I hate ICP. Did
No,
you? You know
no
this. You
offense.
just listened to the Ostrak episode. You know
Yeah,
this.
I know, but I had to say it because I don't
You
know.
put
That's
them in
how I
the same
feel.
vein?
I'm being
Wow,
honest.
okay. All right.
Yeah,
Oh,
Hollywood
they're
Undead
both
is
goofy as
really
hell.
bad.
Yeah, they're not great. I agree. I agree.
ICP, they have heart. They have some heart and soul to their
Come on,
music and their
Jesus
fan
Christ.
base.
He's not.
Hollywood Undead, I don't know who likes their music, but those people are freaks. They also seem similar to like Millionaires. Do you remember them?
Oh my
They
God,
were
yeah,
like,
I do.
yeah, they were like scene
They were like
girly party
that
girlies. That
MySpace
had
pop
some,
that was like scene.
yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
Ew.
what Hollywood Undead was. They were like MySpace, I
Okay,
don't,
that's a rude,
MySpace core. I don't even know
rude
what to call
comparison, but
them.
accurate. Yeah, fair
Yeah,
enough.
my little brother's friend liked Hollywood Undead, and I would make fun of him for it.
Oh, sick. You're already at
Yep.
the real enough stage to bully people for liking garbage sceney pop
Oh
music.
yeah,
That's
I was
good.
mean. I was kind of mean when I was a
Love that.
teenager.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all shitheads when we were growing and learning and aging. That happens.
Exactly. Not
That
anymore, though.
happens. So let's get into the real shit then, shall we? What's the most like rare emo vinyl that you own? The rarest piece.
Rarest? I don't even know how
What's
to
the
judge
bragging
that.
rights? What's the one you would show off if you were trying to flex? Because this is the place to do it.
Yeah, so I have, can I say tape? Or it has to be
Yeah.
vinyl?
No. Any physical release is fine.
Okay. I have a Page 99 demo tape that was given to me. It was just like given to me by my friend Dawn. Shout out Dawn Riddle.
Oh, Mr. Riddle.
She like lit. She's, yeah, she's awesome. She's slightly older than me and lived with one of the dudes from City of Caterpillar on page 99 and ha in Philly, and said that I forget exactly who it was, but the person that she'd lived with left like this tape, like the page 99 demo tape, in their like basement of their house when he like had to like abruptly move out and move all of his stuff out. And so she just like had it for a long time, and do she doesn't really care anymore
Oh,
about that
nice.
kind of music. And then she like gave it to me, so
Oh, she
that's
phased out.
awesome.
She
Yeah,
phased
she
out.
phased out. I don't know. She's awesome.
It
She's into
happens.
other stuff. She like she grew up in the Bay Area. If we want to talk about this one specific person that I know, grew up in the Bay Area and like saw all these really sick shows in the in the 90s, and was friends with people in like Funeral Diner and stuff. And yeah, she like got into all that stuff like really young, and I don't know. Once she got older, I just don't think she cared that much, especially like as a woman, like in a scene that is so like male dominated and could be kind
Not
of
as much,
toxic. Like she's
not as
just,
much as it
yeah, definitely not as
used.
much anymore. Yeah, but like when she was in it more
Oh, for
so.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So I have that, and that's pretty
Backstory.
sweet. Yeah, it's a great backstory, so I treasure that.
For sure.
And just recently, another very cool record that I got is the Pines Days Slipping By LP, but it's like a tour edition in a burlap cover, and it's out of
Nice.
35 edition, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, somebody just sold their like entire Screamo collection to a local record shop here in Portland,
Saw you
and
post that.
somebody,
Yeah.
yeah.
Did you cop a
And
bunch of those
so
or what? It was a good flip through. There's a lot of gems in
I
there.
did. Oh yeah.
Nice.
So somebody, okay, Kim, who is also in the names of our friends, shout out Kim. She is really awesome. She hit me up and let me know that somebody like sold all their stuff and I could like
Oh,
look
sick.
through it before they priced stuff out. And so
Get
I
in
did
there before they
that.
figure
Yeah.
it
I
out.
did that, and I didn't realize how insane it would be. Like, it was literally so crazy. There's so much good stuff,
Who
and
just drops their whole
I didn't even
collection
know.
like that? That's crazy.
I don't know, somebody who doesn't care anymore. It happens, I
I
guess.
wonder if somebody went through a breakup and their partner just like sold off their collection, or their ex-partner sold off their
I
collection or
don't
some shit.
know. She told me that the person apparently had a label or something. Like very vague is
Okay.
what they told the other person working when they like sold their records, that they had like a label. I don't know what it would be. There's like a few different like very short-lived screamo-ish labels in like the early 2000s in Portland, so maybe it's like one of those. I don't know. But yeah, they sold like so much dope stuff, a lot of like super rare stuff, and so I got like a big stack of things for like way more than I thought I would spend, but it was like a very good deal, I guess, for what I got. And yeah, so one of those things is this specific Pine record with a really cool burlap cover. I don't know. And it goes for like a lot of money. But I don't know.
Well,
God
yeah.
deal. Yeah.
Big flex, big flex. When I croak, I want to be buried with my vinyl. Nobody, fuck them. They're not reselling it. It's going with me. Just playing. I'm playing. Let's get to
What?
your work. We've been chatting enough about origins and mall emo and what types of waves we fuck with and everything. How did you get into hosting this show? How did you realize you wanted to do this, like as a show host, DJ type thing? How did you get attracted to this? What drew you into this?
Yeah, so I used to have a college radio show when I was in college. A long time ago now.
Was that an
And
emo
that station
show?
was KP. Yeah, it was.
Sorry to
The
cut you off.
station was
Yeah, it was.
KPSU, which is Portland State University's college radio station. Shout out
What was that
PSU.
show called? Was
It's
that
called
show?
Revolution Summer. Revolution Summer.
Okay.
Yep. And yeah, I did that for about 2 years. And then I don't know, I just stopped. I kind of didn't care anymore, and like I was just doing other things and had to do more school stuff and my job and stuff. Yeah, but that was cool. It was short-lived. There's no archived episodes of that exist anywhere, unfortunately. I really
That
wish
was
that I
going to be
like
my
saved
next
them, but
question.
yeah, I didn't have
Yeah.
like the foresight to do that as like a
That's sick.
19-year-old,
Well, how did you get into
unfortunately.
that in college though? Like what did you just like you're listening to the radio one day and you're like, "Fuck yeah, I could do that. I'd love to do that."
I don't know. It just like sounded fun when I was like, I don't know, thinking of things that you do in college as a college student.
For sure.
I've like always been really interested in music, obviously. And so it just sounded like a fun thing to do, to have a weekly radio show and like play songs that I like, talk about them. I don't know, nothing like that crazy. I guess one aspect of my like lore as a tween that I didn't
You
mention
started laughing
is
before you
that,
said that.
because it's funny.
You were giggling, yeah. You're like, my lore. Yes.
Yeah, my lore. I used to secretly, I don't even know why this was like, it's something I did in secret when I was like in sixth grade. I used to listen to this radio show called The Ska Punk Show on 103.9, I think was a station. It's called The Edge, which is like the alternative rock radio station.
103.3 is the American edge, 102.1 is our Canadian edge, and I also know what show you're talking about because I too listen to it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, 103.3, the edge. They had the history of music and all that shit on it. It's the same radio station.
Don't
We
know,
have
but
102.1 and 103.3. Unless I'm thinking of a completely different radio station. They had a
I
bunch of
feel
them
like
already.
there's probably like several different
Yeah,
ones, and
there's a good
I don't
chance of
think
that.
the show exists anymore.
Oh,
Because
I'm sure it doesn't
it was
now.
like specific to Phoenix, like the Phoenix area.
Was it?
I
So
don't
it wasn't
know.
the different
What
edge
I
radio station
listened
that
to
I'm thinking
was.
of, probably. Okay, fair enough.
It's probably. This was like 2003 or something, like a long time ago. Yeah, I was listening to this radio show called the Ska Punk Show with the host. His name was Craven Moorhead. So to sit with that, I don't know why that was his name.
That's his real name? Can't be.
That was like his DJ name. But
Strange.
on that show, I listened to that. I don't know. I just listened to it sometimes, like really quietly in my room. And then also my friend Kelsey, who's my longtime like best friend, also, I don't know, like similar music, would listen to that radio station a lot. So something about that maybe like influenced me, like me thinking it was cool to have a radio show, even though that show like played really bad stuff, like the Aquabats and like Bad Religion and stuff. But I don't know. It made me feel
First of all,
another
Bad Religion is fucking
kind of
amazing.
punk.
How dare you?
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't really care about that. No, no
Yeah,
offense.
we don't have to
Anyway,
agree,
so
but that's fine.
yeah, then I had my college radio show, and on that show I had some like really cool live performances. Some live bands like played on my show, including like local bands like Carry On Spring played on my show
No
because I
way.
was friends with them.
Very
Yeah, and I
sick.
just don't know where that recording is. And also Duck Little
Yes.
Brother Duck, who's also like an amazing band from Portland in the early 2010s that were my close friends at the time. If you haven't heard them, I highly recommend listening to them. They're like
Yeah, I'll
really
have to
cool
check that out.
mathy like emo revival, but like their own totally unique sound. Yeah, they play on my show, and then
Cool.
some other stuff, and then also the peak like cool thing that I did on that show is I had Algernon play on my college radio show,
Mental.
and that recording is available. Some random person like recorded it, I guess, and uploaded it to YouTube, and I think just the recordings have been like circulating on the internet.
Very cool.
But they played with Big Kids. They were on a tour at that time in like 2011, I think. And that was awesome. Yeah.
That
And
is very
then
sick.
okay, had Yeah, it was. And then how I got started with Satterstar, is that what you want to know? I like just rambled for a long time, I feel like.
No, it's totally fine. It's literally what we're here to do, is shoot the shit about
Yeah, it's a
Nemo and
podcast.
how you got into this and why you're doing it. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah,
Don't feel like you're talking too
totally.
much. I'm asking you to talk too much.
Okay,
Yeah. And
thanks.
then, yeah. So, yeah, I was just curious how you got into wanting to host and everything. And then that transferred over to Satterstar eventually.
Yeah, so I had like a big gap between those two radio shows. And also, I had a big gap of like not caring about music in general as I don't know, became like a young adult. I just kind of was over emo and music and like got rid of a bunch of my records. So I was that person for a
Oh
little
no.
bit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It happens. It
Yeah.
happens.
Yeah, it happens. I don't know. Just like exploring different things. I don't even know what I was doing. But yeah, I just kind of stopped caring for a bit. And then I would say like after moving back to Portland, I used to live in Philly for a while. So after moving back to Portland during the pandemic, I like got back into music. I like actually cared about music again and like started listening to music a lot more, which I feel like is like very vague, but I just like hardly listened to music for like many years. And then I realized that would be fun to have a radio show again, so I could have like a consistent practice of like discovering new music, listening to stuff, like putting playlists together. And I like put a few playlists together that I put on like SoundCloud, I don't even know, just as like practice of something to do. And I saw that X-Ray, the radio station that I have my show on, was like looking for new hosts. And so I just like filled out an application online for that. And then they luckily chose me. And there was
That's
like
awesome.
some other stuff involved with that. Yeah, but that's kind of how Thatterstar happened. It's like I just happened to get chosen for
That's amazing.
having a
So
show off of their
you've
like
been in the game
application.
for so long now. Like I didn't realize that. I know Satterstar at being at 114 episodes. By the way, massive congrats for anyone who has ever tried to
Oh,
run a show,
thanks.
host a show, do interviews, whatever. If you can hit 100, that's fucking mental. Most shows don't last past like 10 or 20 episodes. People realize the amount of time and work involved in this, and they're like, fuck that. Or it just doesn't take off. No one listens. So you just end up not doing it, right? But obviously you have a pretty decent following, and to do over 100 episodes is it's crazy. So congrats.
Thanks.
Was there any specific artist that inspired the art style and aesthetic of the Satterstar presentation, like the way you do it on social media? Aside of just like the 90s DIY emo look, was there anyone specific that inspired your presentation of the brand?
That's a good question. Not really. Not really like a specific like band or anything. Yeah, but like the general era of like mid-90s emo and like hardcore with like handmade album art and like typewriter font, like inserts,
Yes.
copy and paste stuff, like hand
Yeah.
stamped, like sewn together, like booklets, all that stuff. Like I love. And I actually have like a book. I think it's called DIY Album Art that like chronicles a lot of the like 7 inches and like their album art of that era. It has like the Indian
Oh,
Summer
awesome.
like stick like logo on the front. I don't know. I just like really love that art style and have always loved it. And I really love like how unique and like one of a kind it
Very
feels and like,
personal.
yeah,
Yeah.
personal and like handmade. Like you could tell that an actual like person like put this together.
Sure.
Yeah, there's like some, I guess, like records that I like their like album art the most, but it's not like specific bands, I guess. It just, yeah, just the general era is inspiring to me.
For sure. I wanted to speak about the collective and the zine that you've just been a part of. Because we were talking about the label maker typewriter type font, and that was in my questions list at some point. So about a week ago now, a week ago or so, I saw you helped contribute to a collective of music fans who produced a small zine and mixtape that accompanied it. I can talk, I swear. The zine was called Words of No Small Intent, and the 50 copies of the mixtape that came with it sold out very quickly. How did this collective and zine come to fruition, and how did you get involved with it, and what was your contributions to it?
Oh, yeah. So I'm a part of a emo archival group chat, I guess, on Instagram, including Elias, and some other really dope people. And yeah, I don't know. We're just like internet friends and chat a lot about all sorts of stupid stuff, but also like emo stuff. And it was just like brought up that we should make a zine, and if anyone was interested, I think Matt, who, what is his account? Mousestrapped and Static. Don't quote me on that. But he has like an archival page that's all like Little Rock, like Arkansas hardcore and emo, and he has like a YouTube page and Instagram page, and focuses on like that specific side. But I think he came up with the idea that it would be like cool to do a zine. Maybe we all did. I don't really remember how it came up, but yeah, then us and our dorky little emo archival chat, just, I don't know, we just did it. And he kind of, Matt was like the person in charge of that, and we all like contributed a page or two to the scene. We could pick whatever topic we wanted, and he like printed them out, put them together, and also like dubbed all the tapes. He got like a bunch of like old tapes and then like dubbed over them to like make them blank, and then dubbed all the songs. So each of us chose two songs that we wanted to have on the tape. For me, that was very hard since I clearly do a radio show every week, picking like 15 or so songs. So yeah, I was like, wait, I really gotta narrow this down. But I picked a Dahlia Seed song, who I really, really love. They're one of my all-time favorite bands. Really awesome, like 90s femme-fronted emo. And then Bully Rag Song, who are a Phoenix, like mid-90s to early 2000s, like emo band that have a lot of music and are very like underrated. I really love them. But I picked one of their songs to have on the tape. And then I wrote for my section, I wrote like a little ode, I guess, to record shopping. As I said, I love record shopping. But like an ode to like record shopping, like in person, like at a real like brick and mortar record store versus just like buying whatever stuff online, like on Discogs, like easily. I just like don't really like doing that. It just like doesn't feel good to me. And I have been like very lucky to like find so much awesome stuff just in person if you're like consistent with it. And like, I don't know, if you just like go to a lot of stores over the course of your life, you'll find cool stuff for cheap. Yeah, and also like tied together with how important a specific record store in Tempe, Arizona called East Side Records was to me and like my foundation of like collecting records and like my music taste. So I kind of wrote a little piece about that, and then wrote about a specific haul of records that I got when I visited East Side Records last fall with a few of my friends. I've just found some really cool stuff. I just thought it would be cool to like chronicle like what records I specifically found at a specific record store and write a little piece about that. I don't know. I don't know. That's
That
what I
is cool.
did.
That was very cool.
Yeah. What else was the question? Does that answer that? Or is there
Yeah, no, I
more?
was just asking how you got involved. You explained from the
Oh,
group
yeah.
chat and
Yeah, group
what you
call.
contributed to it. I'm curious if there's any plan with the collective to do another volume or even to reprint the first 50 if there's any more demand for it or anything like that.
Yeah, I think we would like to do a second one at some point in
That'd
down
be
the
very cool.
line. Yeah, I don't know about reprinting them, but like the mixtape, the playlist for that has been posted to YouTube, so you could listen I
could
to
see that.
that if yeah. Maybe we should just like put up the zine like electronically online somewhere so you could read
I was
it.
thinking that, yeah, that happens a lot too
Yeah.
now. It's a good way to, once you get, I mean, the physical's obviously repressing them or reprinting them. It's a lot of work involved in that too, right?
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I don't
I
know.
can
It was just
definitely
like
understand.
a kind of like a fun little tiny project. Like it wasn't meant to be like a big thing or anything.
For sure.
And like other my other friends that are a part of it like had other cool things that they wrote in the zine. Ira, my homie, wrote about like becoming straight edge. What else? Maya, who like co-runs Canadian Wasteland, like an emo archival blog, who they do like so much awesome stuff and like research.
Do shout out.
She wrote about like being femme in screamo and hardcore scene. And Will, who's just a cool dude, who also works for like Numero, but that doesn't define him. That's just an aspect of who he is. He wrote about like reference images in a lot of like emo artwork and like where they originally came from, which I thought was a really cool idea because there's so much stuff that's just kind of like taken from, I don't know, all sorts of places and art and then like put on like emo records. You don't like know the original like source material. That was cool. Elias wrote about like the state of the scene where he's at and how people keep, I don't know, screwing things up and you need to create community instead
Of
of
course. Yeah, that's
yeah,
unfortunate.
I don't know.
I'm not surprised that's what he
Yeah,
wrote
some
about,
other
though. It's
stuff.
a pressing issue,
Yes, it's
especially where
pressing.
he's at.
Yeah,
Jesus.
where he's at for sure. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Whatever is going on down there, it doesn't really happen up here as much as far as I'm
Yeah,
aware.
I mean,
I feel like
the
I'm
same problems happen in
missing
every
someone.
scene, but there's definitely, it's definitely worse in other areas. Yeah, it was a long list of people who contributed, so I don't expect you to give a rundown on everybody's contributions. I
Yeah,
was
it's
just curious.
okay. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
it. Yeah, I
No,
could cut that if that's too much.
not at all. Not at all. If you'd like, could you introduce the second song you picked and why you
Oh,
picked it?
okay. The second song. Okay, the second song I picked is by I Would Set Myself on Fire for You. That's the right song, right? Okay. The second song is called This Is Not Mine by I Would Set Myself on Fire for You. I would consider them to be one of, if not like my number one favorite screamo band. They just have such like a dynamic, unique sound that captures like so much emotion and there's so many layers to their songs. With like the overlapping vocals, they have a violin, they have like a lot of crazy like other samples happening. Yeah, I just love their music a lot. So I just wanted to highlight the song. This is off of their self-titled.
Try to live.
Awesome. Thank you.
Got
Perfect. Perfect.
it.
I'll cut it in.
Nice.
It'll sound professional as all hell.
Okay.
As you do, as you do. So you were mentioning femme-fronted emo bands just in our last question. And you just did, I believe, your second episode theme with female-fronted emo.
Yes.
Which is great as a massive fan of female-fronted any genre, really. I'm just a big sucker for good female vocals. Big fan of that. Do you have a favorite theme that you've done for your radio show now? Because I know you've done quite a few, and I think that's one of the only ones you've redone so far is the female-fronted, because you just did volume two, and I presume there's a volume three
Yeah.
coming. I hope there's a volume three coming.
At some point, I'll do it. Not super
Yeah.
soon.
Okay. Well, you just did the second volume like this Monday, right? So.
Yeah, this week. Yeah, the first one I did like over a year ago. And then I
Right.
don't know, it just took me a while to do the second one. Favorite theme, I really loved my Black Emo History episode that I did last month featuring all bands that have like at least one Black member. I feel like people. Well, I don't know, just like don't realize how diverse emo can be. Like, obviously, it's not as diverse as a lot of other genres, but there's definitely like folks of color in it, in particular in this episode, like Black folks who are in emo and screamo bands throughout time. And I wanted to highlight those bands. And I just feel like the playlist itself for that episode is great too. Like all those bands are amazing. What else? Yeah, I really like the Girly Girl Emo series, both of them.
Big fan myself as well.
And
Yep.
yeah, I also really liked my Phoenix Emo episode. All the songs that I played are like not on streaming or anything. They're all like deep cuts, like you have to listen to the episode to hear them.
You're always doing deep cuts, though. Every time I hear your show, I hear a band I haven't heard before.
Well,
Usually
that's
because
awesome.
it's in that like early 90s, early 2000s era, and I'm not, that's not my niche by any means, but it's always very cool because I'm like, wow. Every time I hear your show, I will hear a band I haven't heard before or haven't heard a lot of, which is what I love about it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I like doing that. Why not do that if you have a radio show? It's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And like that episode of the Phoenix Emo, I like did a lot of like research on that, like trying to find a bunch of bands, yeah, from like the area that I grew up in that I didn't really know about, and that was cool. Also, Killed by Emo is a themed episode. I've done two different episodes of that theme with my friend Omar. And the theme of that was like bands that had like very limited like releases, like maybe just release like one song on compilation or like one 7-inch, like had like very few, yeah, releases, like harder to find, like more rare emo and modeled after Killed by Death compilations, which was like rare early punk compilations, but like wanted to do that. And those are all like bootleg compilations as far as I know, so wanted to do like a bootleg rare emo, I don't know, episode series. So we did two of those, and that was cool too.
Do you think there's, sorry, how do I word this? What band do you think has been played on your show the most? My guess, Sleepy Time Trio.
Well, I don't think a Sleepy Time Trio, but okay.
It's not? I've heard them a few times now. So that's my guess, but I'm asking you, what band do you think has been played the most on your show?
Maybe Rain or Maria. Or maybe Dahlia Seed.
Damn, Sleepy Time didn't even touch it, eh? I've heard them
I don't know. I feel like
well,
I've only
maybe a
played
little
them like
less.
maybe three times.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
I really love Sleepy Time Trio, yeah, but I don't think I've played
yeah,
them
me
that
as well. And
much.
I've definitely I notice when they come on, and I'm like, oh, I've heard them on the show before. So I thought maybe they were, because you don't often do a whole lot of repeating. There's always something new on there. Like you quite often
I
are
try to,
playing,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a good mix for sure.
Yeah, I would say Raina Maria or Dahlia Seed. I don't know. Maybe I feel like I'm missing something like obvious though that I'm not that I'm not
Oh,
remembering.
if
Maybe Braid too.
yeah.
Braid just has so much music, but I haven't played them in a while, so I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't know. You
Well,
tell me.
no, you tell me. I'm the one asking the questions around here. You tell me. What band in 2025 out of the New Blood, the New Jacks, is there anybody who's captured your heart or got your ear?
Like Claybirds.
Yeah.
They're sick. I saw them last summer here in Portland at a basement house show that had to be like, I don't know, the venue had to be moved really last minute, and it ended up in this like tiny basement, which was really fun. It was like a great space to see them in for the first time. But yeah, that band rocks. They're so good. And as I said, I really love My Friend My Urn. I can't wait to see like what else they do. They're so good.
Same.
Yeah. A band that I found recently, or just like recently released their EP, is called At First, At First. Is that what they're called?
Yes, it is. They are
See,
from
that seems
Texas.
wrong.
I was listening to them last night
Yeah.
and I wrote a little mini review for one of their songs because I'm nominating them for a Grammy Award for one of the best new jacks.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Fucking excellent band.
And Stella, which was already mentioned, and We're the Currency. I love both those bands. They both
Yes.
know what's up. I'll leave it there.
Okay. It's a great list. They're all bangers. So you've heard the show, so you know what I usually do near the end when I'm wrapping up. There's a couple of goofier questions I ask that presumably don't get asked in your everyday interview. You can always decline to answer the questions, but you know what I'm starting with. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've done in your life that you're willing or not willing to put on a very public podcast?
Don't do a lot of illegal or dangerous things in my
I
life.
didn't think you did.
I'm very much
I
like
didn't.
a goody-goody. I've like
And dangerous then, probably. Maybe you've done something a little risky and
stolen
dumb
some
when you were younger.
stupid stuff.
Shoplifting? Yeah, it's pretty standard.
Yeah, but like nothing crazy, just like an avocado or like
Whoa,
a stamp from Goodwill.
we got a rebel here, folks. An avocado. Be like, that
Yeah,
price is
sometimes
outrageous.
like
I'm just gonna pocket
some
that.
honestly, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and at the Goodwill near me, okay, so you know that I really like stamps.
You've stolen stamps.
I at the Goodwill near me, they'll like put a bunch of random stamps in a bag and then charge like $15 or something stupid for it. But
What?
like I'll look at it and I want like one of them. And then you know what? Maybe once or twice I've opened it up and taken just one of them and no one knew.
That's
So I'm pretty bad.
easily
Dangerous.
the most badass thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's kind
I've
of
lifted
badass.
one singular stamp. That's the hardest answer. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once,
Wow.
when I was like 13 or 14, I rode in like the back of a pickup truck with my friend Eve that some like random 16-year-old like scene boy was driving. And I feel like that's kind of dangerous.
Does sound
I
dangerous for
barely know how to
many.
drive.
Also, like, dude's 16 hanging out with 13-year-olds. Extremely suspect.
Yeah, maybe we were 14. I don't
Little
know.
stranger danger going on there.
Yeah, stranger danger.
Jeez. I normally start the question by saying, assuming you're not a pacifist, but I actually am assuming you are a pacifist. You know the question though. If you could punch anyone in the face as hard as you can, with no repercussions, would you punch anyone? One punch, who and why?
I feel like in my real life, I don't For I don't foresee me ever punching someone
I don't see it
in the
either.
face.
No.
I mean I might need to, but just like knowing who I
Right.
am, that would be extremely out of character and crazy. I guess Elon Musk. I don't know. Seems like a stupid answer, but he's
No,
just
it's a
like
good
sucks.
answer.
He just like
Yeah, he
sucks so
sucks.
bad and he needs to go
Yeah.
away.
Oh,
Yeah.
shit.
I don't know. I guess. And he's punchable. He
Oh,
needs to
God,
be
yeah. He
punched. He honestly needs
yeah.
to be
Oh, yeah.
punched.
He does. And that's what the
Yeah.
question's for. It's all hypothetical. I can't imagine you'd even swing a punch. But in a fantasy land, if you had to punch
Yeah.
somebody, he's a good pick.
Okay, thank you.
One of my favorite questions. What do you listen to that could be considered a guilty pleasure? If you don't consider it a guilty pleasure, I don't know, what's like most far-fetched avant-garde or poppy thing you listen to? If you don't listen to anything that brings you guilt, then I guess what's the strangest thing that you rock with?
I mean, I feel like I really like specific like mall emo and like pop punk, but I don't
Yes.
consider that to be a guilty pleasure. That's just part of who I am.
I mean,
And some
it
of that
could be
music,
considered.
is just straight up good. Like the other day, I was listening to from First to Last album, Dear Diary, whatever it's called.
Yep.
My
Bangers.
Teenage Angst Has a Body Count, is that what it's called? I was listening to that, just doing normal stuff, and you know what? I enjoyed
Just doing
it.
normal stuff.
Just like cooking dinner or something, just
Just
rocking to
normal
that.
stuff. Just rocking
Yeah.
to normal stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly I don't like have a super like wide range of what I listen to.
No? Okay.
It's
Just emo and
like
mall emo cringe all
I
around.
kind of listen to yeah, the various emo subgenres, indie
Yes.
rock, slowcore, and like I don't know, some other like punk stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing like super crazy. I'm trying to think. I should have a good answer for this, but I don't know. Sometimes, okay, I really like karaoke. Sometimes I'll like listen to stuff. Oh, you know what? Linkin Park. I like doing Linkin Park
Sick.
for karaoke. I think
Oof.
Linkin Park is a good band.
I do too. I do too. And I can see
Okay,
how
there you
that would
go.
be considered to be cringy or a guilty pleasure, but no, they fucking slap, so.
Yeah, but I don't consider them to be cringy. I think they got some bangers. They got some good music.
I mean, they did that like whole album with Jay-Z. Looking back on that now, it sounds pretty fucking cheesy. It's still sick, but it's super cheesy.
Yes.
Yeah,
Definitely
it's
cheesy music.
yeah.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
got I'm trying to Oh, Lying From You. I would recommend Lying From You by Linkin Park. That's a great song. It's
Gonna
like
look
not
that
one of
one
their
up.
like Yeah, it's not one of their like most famous songs, but it's the maybe like second tier like famous
You would pick a
song.
deeper cut, yeah. Not one of the radio hits.
Well, I mean, I do like the radio hits. I'm just specifically recommending
Yeah.
this one Linkin Park song. Yep. Okay, that's what I'm gonna say. That's my answer.
Just gonna leave it at Linkin Park. Yeah, that's fine.
Linkin
Do you
Park.
have
Yep.
any unpopular music take besides saying that the noodly and twinkly emo is not real emo?
Well, okay, I didn't say it's not real emo. I said I don't think Midwest emo is a good genre name.
Oh,
I don't.
okay. That's a lot more specific. You don't think so? You don't like the name itself and what it defines. Not that you don't fuck with the
Yeah.
twinkly stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I like some twinkly stuff. Not all of it, but some
Yeah.
of it I like.
Not a big Twinkle Daddy, just a little bit.
No. Yeah. I feel like when that stuff was like becoming popular, you know, like in the like early 2010s or whatever, like the big like emo revival scene. I don't know. I just like didn't really like it. I just kind of like didn't listen to it seriously, and I was like, this isn't real emo or whatever, like stupid thing I was saying when I was like 18 while I was listening to I don't know, whatever else I was listening to, like 90s stuff. But yeah, some of it I like. I love Algernon Cadwalader. They're an important band for me in my life. Yeah, I don't really like a lot of bands that like draw too much influence like now from those bands. Like they just sound like rip-offs of like Snowing or like Algernon or whatever band from then. It's just like not, I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
Popular music takes, I don't know. I don't know what else
Well,
to say about this.
oh, that's fine. If you could give the entire world a gift, does not have to be a material possession, what would you gift to the entire world and why?
Maybe housing, free housing.
Good answer. It's a good answer.
Well, there's a lot of unhoused people out here, especially in Portland, and that's an easy thing to provide for people, but the government doesn't, I guess I'm specifically talking about like the US and locally, government doesn't want to provide housing or like thanks people that are, yeah, experiencing like homelessness or like lazy or whatever, but like there's so many different layers
We
to
have that
it.
issue in Canada as
Yeah.
well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great gift.
And okay, yeah, I'll say like free housing. Like there's so
A
many
great
other
gift.
things that you should worry about with your
Yes.
money than like
Yeah.
having a place to live, having to spend,
A roof,
I don't
yeah.
know, like more than half your income on like rent or whatever.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's
Yep.
annoying.
Doesn't get
Just be
any cheaper, does
nice. Just treat
it?
people with
Just
respect and like love
right.
people. Yeah.
So, what's the third and final song? We'll play it as the outro. What did you pick
Oh
and
my
why did you
God.
pick it? What's the attachment to you with that song?
Okay. Yeah. So this song, the last song is Haloed Eyes by Navio Forge. I picked this because like you told me that I should pick some of the most emotional emo songs for to showcase, which I didn't really do, except for this one. This is what I wanted to choose. This band, they were from like the early 90s and featured Sarah Kirsch, who was in a bunch of other really dope hardcore bands and like a lot of bands on Ebullition, and is just a very cool person. Passed away several years ago, but like highly influential in terms of like emotional hardcore, I would say. But she is in this band, and just the lyrics of this band and like the pacing of it, the build, and then like the ending of it, where it's just like deeply sad sounding. All of it just like really does something for me. It's just like, it's just, I just feel like this is one of the most like emo, like saddest emo songs. And it's a long one, but like stick with it till the end because I feel like all of it has to be heard in one piece.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, this is Haloed Eyes by Navio Forge.
The saddest star song. I'm
Exactly.
sorry. Terrible, terrible, terrible joke. Chelsea, this has been an absolute pleasure. I knew it was going to be a fun chat. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. You thought you were going to be nervous and you did flawless. It was a very fun chat. Do you
Thank
have
you. It was
any
fun.
shout outs, any plugs, any causes, anything you want to leave our listeners on before we play the very sad outro track?
I guess Free Palestine and consider going vegan
Consider it.
and consider it.
I like
It's
that. I like
easier than
that.
you may think. Long live emo and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
say? What do you say? Can I see? But it touches me. Not to shake what they say, can I say, but it touches me. And with bated hands and bated lines, churn my waters to bring about my truth. And in the end, I can't see your eyes. And I can never justify the way my eyes never move to meet yours. I can never justify why I couldn't see you, why I've never been able to see you. I've never been able to see. Why can't I see? Why can't my eyes move? Never move. Never move. Never move.